Here's your money briefing. I'm J.R. Whalen at the Wall Street Journal in New York. For a long time, when you wanted to track tech stocks, you started with the heavy hitters: Facebook, Amazon, Apple, Netflix, and Google. Well, now the spotlight has started to turn away from those big names, and we'll check in with the Journal Markets reporter in a moment with some details. First, some money and market news you should know. Well, you don't need us to tell you this, but as the economy has improved, so has traffic congestion. In fact, a report from the Texas A&M Transportation Institute says the congestion has added about 12 minutes a day to the average car commute. Now, put another way, that's about 54 hours a year, or roughly the time it would take to binge-watch 5 seasons of a TV show. Congestion nationwide costs Americans about 8.8 billion hours a year, and it wastes about 3 billion gallons of fuel annually if you sit in traffic. Nationwide congestion rose steadily from the 1980s through the middle of the last decade before stalling briefly during the recession. And since 2009, it has grown by 26%. You've heard us discuss tech shares lots of times here on Your Money Briefing, with an emphasis on what many call the FANG stocks. That's an acronym for Facebook, Amazon, Apple, Netflix, and Google's parent Alphabet. But the FANG stocks have lost their sharpness over the past 12 months, and Wall Street Journal markets reporter Michael Wirsthorn is here with us and says Wall Street might be looking for new leaders. So, Michael, how bad has it gotten for this group of giant tech stocks?
So if you're looking at it on a year-to-date basis, these five stocks, they've all risen double-digit percentages. They have a pretty healthy gain. But that's not taking into account the fact that we had a pretty punishing year-end sell-off, and a lot of those stock prices recovered quite a bit. If you look at, say, over the last 12 months, so from last August up until this August, you'd see that a lot of those five stocks are down, if not basically flat, from where they were last year. So they really haven't seen a lot of movement despite the ups and downs, all this volatility we've seen around trade, around slowing growth. And that's really kept the broader stock market at bay. I mean, we've hit a new record for the S&P 500, but it was about 3% over where that record was in 2018. So there are a lot of people saying that without those five stocks really performing quite a bit better, you're going to see the stock market be in this real tough trading range for the future going forward.
It's gotten to a point where investors are actually pricing in slow growth for these stocks.
Very much. And for a lot of them, it's trying to look at these stocks as individual companies, individual components, and not this lockstep group that they have been treated as such since, I'd say, 2015, certainly 2016 and after that. For a lot of investors, you know, the saying just basically went, if you bought Facebook, it made sense to buy Apple, Amazon, and Netflix, because they were just all the benefits that were working for one worked for all of them. Now, because these companies are a lot more mature, because the macro issues facing a lot of companies around the world are becoming much more magnified, especially with trade tensions, investors are realizing that that doesn't work anymore. So you got to look at Netflix just for its ability to combat its other streaming rivals, whether it be Disney or whether it be a Comcast or some of these other companies. And that has to be very different from, say, how you look at Apple, a manufacturer. So there's more differentiation going on.
You know, each of these big tech companies in this group have faced challenges, like Netflix, like you said. And speaking of Apple, it might be the one that has been able to brush off some of the decline because of the focus investors are placing on its service business.
And that's part of the differentiation, is that investors are realizing that for some of these companies, they may be mature. So Apple, in this case, has always been looked at as this manufacturer of iPhones, of tablets, of other products, and it had this annual launch cycle that reliably would impress people, and then stock prices would rise. That stock's been a little more stuck that last year and a half, but for investors to see that future value, they're saying you have to look at services. You look at all the things people are spending on their phones, on their tablets, and how much of a chunk Apple gets of that. And that's how investors are getting comfortable with, at least say, Apple, in terms of how to invest in that going forward.
But in terms of the current market and the next generation of tech leaders, software companies have attracted the attention of investors.
And that's where we are thinking about this new group of leaders, because you do look at the FANG stocks over the last 12 months. You know, Netflix, for example, is down 15, 16, 17% from that point last year. Some of the other ones are down, a little bit less than that, but still down overall. But you looked at, say, software, and there are payment service companies and some other ones that focus, say, on IT services. They're up 50, 60% from that same time last year. And it's these aren't stocks that are going to pull the stock market higher because the capitalizations are still too small. But it's where investors, especially in technology, are saying that when I think about where my portfolio has the biggest potential to grow, it may not be in these really established industries like social media, for instance. I mean, government regulation is just going to make that a more costly business. So you're seeing them look at places like IT services, like software, because there's a lot more potential for these companies right now, considering where they are in their current, say, environments.
And you highlighted one or two of those in your story.
So two of them that I highlighted, and these were software companies that one of Goldman Sachs' tech funds have invested in. They really like a lot. One of them is ServiceNow. And that company, again, it's another software company. And what people really like about that, like Goldman Sachs, is that there's a recurring revenue stream that they can really understand and really see. And they think that has massive potential to go going forward, just because there's a lot more companies or people that are going to need to use those tools and services for, say, help desk development. And like when a computer has an issue that they got to go on and put that into somewhere so that somebody can come to their desk and fix that computer. So ServiceNow is one of those companies. The other one is Atlassian, and that's an Australian software company that helps software developers make software. So again, it's getting into the cycle where these companies have both up, I think, at least 40% over the last year, where people are saying that these companies have already made terrific inroads, that the growth is really just starting for a lot of them, that as we think about sort of the maturation of technology and where things are going next, that we got to get deeper and more nuanced. And that's where software is really helping investors find that nuance.
And in terms of what seems like a cyclical time frame away from these FANG stocks, we've been in this position before. In the days before Facebook and the rest, there were Microsoft, Intel, Cisco, and Oracle as the darlings of the tech world in the late 90s. So it seems like that this sort of rotation is normal.
Exactly. And that's again, something that I think, because there's certainly a camp within the stock market right now that says the S&P 500 cannot hit a new high or significantly move past where it is now without the participation of companies like Facebook, Apple, Amazon, Netflix, and others. And that's just because they're such a massive size. But that's also to say that, you know, when we've had these other periods, you know, and this was like when companies like Oracle or Cisco or Coca-Cola were among these leaders, when people thought the stock market couldn't make it then either. You know, the stock market worked through those periods of times. It saw new leaders emerge, and you saw the market hit new highs then after that. And that's why some people are saying that this is, in fact, if anything, it's healthy to see this divergence, to see the market lessen its dependence on just these five companies that have really accounted for much of the bull market's gains over the last 10 years, and to see us shift, or at least see the market sort of shifting its attention and focus on other companies that have, in a lot of ways, I wouldn't say untested business models, but business models that just have a much deeper potential for penetration going forward.
All right. And we are on the cusp of the fourth quarter. We'll see how the market does. And good reason to keep it tuned to Michael Wurstthorne's coverage and the rest of the markets team here at the Wall Street Journal. And he's good enough to join us here in our studio. Michael, thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you.
And that's your Money Briefing. I'm J.R. Whalen in New York for the Wall Street Journal.